Welcome, Chris, to Executive Peace.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here today.
So, Chris, do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Yeah, I do. I kind of find that all people that are successful tend to have some sort of morning ritual, right? For me, I've evolved mine over the years. I started out a ritual similar to Tony Robbins' Hour of Power, but I've adapted it to be my own. So I focus on what I call the three E's. Exercise, education, and enlightenment. And so when I get up, I can't just go into meditation because I'll fall asleep. So when I wake up, I actually go right into doing things such as like just exercise. You know, I do a lot of marathon training. You know, as I do things around running, I do things with like weightlifting and things like that. But really, the important thing is just doing whatever might get your blood pumping, right? I mean, even this morning, I just went for a walk, a nice, you know, very meditative type of walk. While doing that, I kind of threw in some of the other E, like enlightenment, where, you know, I was doing like a prayer of gratitude, you know, and doing something like that, kind of counting your blessings and that sort of thing to get yourself in the right state of mind. I even listened to an audiobook. You know, I was listening to a book while I'm doing that walk. Doing all those kind of things, you know, journal writing can be part of it, you know, it could be yoga, it could be, you know, whatever you want to do, but essentially it's really just getting you in the right frame of mind. And so that's what I try to do each morning, and it's made all the difference in my life.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
You know, the best constructive advice I got was, you know, it was actually later in my career. I'll tell you, like, making money in my career always seemed somewhat confusing, right? I wasn't quite sure how to do it. I always thought I had to get the right position or the right job. But in truth, it really had to come down to what was the cause of creating more success and wealth than anything. And that was really understanding when someone taught me that dollars follow value, right? The more value you create for somebody, the more dollars that just naturally follow, the more that you become a necessity. You even become that linchpin within your organization. And as I started to focus more on how do I create value for people, how do I solve problems, how do I serve, how do I add value in any way I can, go the extra mile, whenever I've done that, success just naturally follows, as well as the financial success, and even that applies to all areas of life. I mean, even within your relationships and your family, it's tremendous. And so for me, that was the biggest advice I got that shifted my whole way of thinking from being a victim and feeling like things were out of my control to taking more control and having that success show up.
What is the most important decision you've made in your life?
Oh my goodness. To say one single decision is hard because there's so many small decisions you make along the way, right? But I would definitely say that, you know, who I marry is definitely one of the biggest decisions I've made. You know, who you surround yourself with is essential, you know, to whatever success or lack of success you might get. And choosing a good partner, someone that can be a support, not just a support for you, but someone that really pushes you, helps you to strive for more, I think is essential. And, you know, it's, I remember Jim Carrey saying, behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes, right? And I can definitely say that's true in my life as well, where I've got a wife that definitely rolls her eyes a lot at what the things I do and keeps me in check, but also has an abundant state of mind herself that allows me to, you know, really grow and excel. I couldn't do that without her.
Chris, do you have any hidden talent?
Well, sometimes, you know, people think it's a little bit weird. I quote a lot of movies from the 90s and early 2000s, but I wouldn't consider that much of a talent. One talent that not many people know about nowadays is about 20 years ago and 20 pounds ago, I was actually one of the nation's top amateur ballroom dancers. And so I was actually one of the top dancers there, even danced on the world championship team for 2 years in a row. You know, that's a little hidden talent. It's not a talent I've really developed a lot over the last while, but definitely part of that. And so, you know, if you look at the minors I had in college, I was a sociology major, but I was a psychology minor with also other minors in ballroom dancing and then also Japanese. Little known fact, I used to be very fluent in Japanese about 20 years ago as well.
How cool is that? Now, Chris, when the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Well, I used to go with the mind all the time, and that led me astray many times. So I go with the heart now. I go with my gut, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I've learned that the best decisions I've made has been going with my gut ultimately. I use my mind a lot. I'm definitely very much a person that likes to see the rational reasons behind things. But, you know, at the end of the day, if my gut says something different, I've learned the best thing to do is just trust it. Trust it. Don't ignore it. Because when I've ignored it, it's cost me millions of dollars. But when I've followed it, it's made me millions of dollars as well.
Please finish this sentence. Money is?
Money is energy. I think that's the best way to describe it. You know, money is energy. Money is a representation of value. It's something that's it's the effect, not the cause, right? It doesn't take money to make money. It really takes value to create money, right? And so when I see money, I see it as kind of like that energy. It's that thing that allows you to, it's really just a physical manifestation or even a bank account manifestation of something that you've been able to offer of service, of value, something that's been solving problems and helping people.
What is your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food? Oh, I'll tell you, it's between one of two things. My go-to snacks are either chips and salsa or ice cream. I love ice cream or milkshakes. That is my bane, especially when you're a marathoner. It's not fun because you got to, you know, make sure you don't put on a bunch of weight. But I'll tell you, I see a good milkshake and I have a hard time passing it up.
Chris, do you have any pet peeves?
I've got several. I think my kids know all of them. But, my pet peeve, for the most part, if I were to really sum it down, I really hate inauthenticity. I hate people that are insincere. I hate people that are trying to fake it till they make it. You know, like I understand why somebody would do that, but I really love authenticity. I love people just being the real thing, being who they are, and just showing up the best they can as who they are. But, you know, when I see people that are being completely fake, that are trying to put on a show, it drives me nuts, probably because I was like that at one point. You know, it became a pet peeve of mine because I was there, I did it, and it's not a good place to be. It's, to me, it just angers me.
What is one thing that could instantly make your day better?
You know, this, honestly, teaching. I've been able to become financially independent twice, you know, by the time I was 39 years old. And even though I can always retire, right? I can quit, you know, doing any kind of work. I'll tell you, the thing I always keep coming back to is teaching. I love teaching. I love serving. I love creating a ripple effect in people's lives. I mean, that's the thing that drives me each and every day. So that's what it is for me.
What difference did someone make in your life as a child?
You know, I would have to say, you know, there's different coaches. I've done different sports. I was a late bloomer. I didn't really do sports until I was a teenager. But, I mean, there's always been teachers or coaches, people like that have made a difference in my life. And I can think of one particularly, especially when I got into ballroom dancing, right? You know, one teacher, she was great to acknowledge my strengths and encourage me, but then say, okay, good, you're getting that, great, good job, now try this, right? Like she would correct me without trying to demean me, where I've had other people, I remember having coaches that did the opposite. They would demean, they give you that look of disapproval or that look of just shame, right? They're just like, you know, that they think I suck, you know? And when that happens, like I actually end up fulfilling whatever image they have of me. And so instead of doing that, I've responded much better when people encourage and then say, great, now to do it better, tweak this. Good, now tweak this. Good, now tweak this. And I've grown the fastest that way.
Because you mentioned you enjoy quoting things, do you have a favorite quote?
Depends on the moment, right? Sometimes they're really dumb quotes, you know, like it might come from a movie like Tommy Boy or Dumb and Dumber. But other times it comes from others, you know, others more inspirational, right? I would say, though, overall, the quote that will often go through my mind over and over would be the Henry Ford quote, you know, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right, right? I mean, that's been the one that stuck with me when I first read it when I was 18 years old, and it never left. Like, it's really been the one that helps me to say, all right, you know, can I do this? Well, depends on me. Do I really believe I can? And if I don't believe I can't, then it's not going to happen.
What is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
Oh, my goodness. Depends on which part of the day. If you're talking about work day, I mean, often I just, you know, make sure I wrap things up with emails or whatever it might be. But for me, the last part of the day when I'm winding down completely is I usually just Netflix and just, I just, not Netflix and chill necessarily from that standpoint, but I do just usually will watch Netflix or something. I'll just unwind, stop using my brain for a minute and just let it unwind before I fall asleep.
Chris, are there any initiatives you host or causes you support?
I'm supportive of a lot of different causes. I have friends that are humanitarians and of different things, and I'm part of a church and they do a lot of humanitarian efforts, but the one that sticks to my mind is actually a friend that just passed away recently, was Frank Shankiewicz. He was the one that was one of the co-founders of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and I'll tell you that one, like that inspires me, just how he started that one from the ground up, back in the early 80s, and look at it today. It's blessing a lot of people's lives, and I think it's just very inspiring, and he's left a legacy behind that I hope I could even leave a fraction of that kind of legacy behind myself.
And finally, Chris, what do you do and where can people contact you?
Yeah, so, when I'm not taking care of my, our blended family of eight kids and I'm cooking and things like that, like I just took a break cooking lunch to be able to do this interview. But when I'm not doing all that, I'm semi-retired. And the thing I'm now having my business money ripples is I work as like an anti-financial advisor, right? Because, many times what you see is financial advisors are offering the same stuff. They're always telling people to save everything, spend nothing, save it forever in mutual funds, and hopefully someday you'll have something. And the truth is, you usually don't. But the majority of Americans aren't making it, even though they're trying to save all they can. I like to teach people something different. How I was able to retire myself, before I was 40. How you become financially independent, where you work because you want to, not because you have to. So I teach people how to do things outside of the norm, things that are safer, but actually provide cash flow today, not 30 or 40 years from now. So I teach those kind of things and help people really get their money to work for them so they can stop working so hard for their money. And people can find me one of two ways. They can either go to my website, moneyripples.com, that's MoneyRipples.com, or they can follow my own podcast, The Chris Miles Money Show, that I have on iTunes or YouTube.
Chris, thank you for sharing your wisdom, and I'm glad we reconnected. For those listening, he also appeared on Moving Mountains, so you could check that out. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.